into it today. And let's just, come on, you made the effort to be here. You might as well find if there's something you can pick up while you're here. Amen, everyone? So let's pray and see what God has for us as we get going. Father, help us now, I pray. Let your word land like fire in our hearts. I pray this, Lord. Let us steward this move, this what you're doing amongst us, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, everybody said,
amen.
How many know by a show of hands or an amen that we live in a fascinating world? And how many know God made some fascinating people? Come on, you can take that however you want to. How many are seated next to one of them fascinating people? You can take that however you want to also, all right? And the world that we live in, it's filled with laws. Have you noticed this? And how many would agree with me? There's some laws you love, right? I mean, there's good laws. You live in a neighborhood, there's ordinances or laws like your next door neighbor can't party till 2 in the morning. You know, some of the laws you love, unless you're the partying neighbor, then there's laws that you hate. And how many know there's some laws that they make sense and some laws don't make sense? Let's do one more. How many know there's some laws that you love, and they're easier to keep, and then there's some laws that you don't love, and they're harder to keep? Come on. Like, for us, it's probably easy, like, thou shalt not murder. That's a law, right? And that was probably pretty easy, at least I hope for the majority of you here, right? Okay. But the law that's posted on the side of the highway, don't even look at me. Some of you broke multiple laws just to get here today. Look, I love that. I wish you could see what I'm seeing right now. There's like, did you talk to him? Yeah, right? Let me give you some crazy laws. These are real laws. Number one, chewing gum is illegal in Singapore. How about that? Anybody ever been to Singapore? It's a beautiful place, beautiful city, one of the nicest cities in the world, cleanest cities in the world, but since 1992, chewing gum is against the law. Number two, no Winnie the Pooh t-shirts in Poland are allowed. Anybody got a Winnie the Pooh on this morning? I just want to see you. If you do, I was going to give you $1,000, but you don't. All right, so... Anyway, and here's why. We could learn some lessons from those in Poland. Here's why. Because Winnie the Pooh doesn't wear pants. That's simply why. You were waiting for the punchline. That's it. Hint, he doesn't have pants on, huh? How vulgar. How many know we could learn something in America, right, everybody? Number three, it's illegal. This is going to really affect Washingtonians. It's illegal to wear camouflage in the Caribbean. Woo! Mark, you can't go. I mean, most of our guys can't go. You're just out. You can't go. And the reason behind the law is to prevent confusion with the military personnel. Number four, in Denmark, you cannot name your baby anything you want to. You can't. There is a list of 7,000 pre-approved names. So you can't just come up with names like, you know, the husband is Fred and the wife is Jezebel, so you call her Fredabel, or, you know, you just can't. And how many know that's not really that bad of a law? It would save a lot of kids from being bullied to creative parents. How many know what I'm saying, right? Okay. And here's one last one. It's illegal to drive a dirty car in Russia. It's just simply illegal. Cleanliness is associated with public respect. Woo. In fact, the fine is 2,000 rubles. I've been there. There's some dirty cars. I don't know when that law happened. But anyway, regardless if you understand the law, regardless if you like the law, regardless if you agree with the laws, there are laws that govern our world. Not just the world geographically, but how many know there's laws that govern, come on now, our world? You might not even recognize their laws in your life, but you would say something like, I would never do that, because that's what governs you. It's a law. And so there are laws that run our world. There's the law of physics. There's the law of gravity. How many know what I'm talking about, right? Whether you agree with it or not, it really is irrelevant, because if I pushed you off this stage today, the law of gravity is you would fall. Mm-hmm. And there's another law, and it's what I want to talk about today. It's the law of sowing and reaping. It's just a law. And I know that the place can get tight anytime we talk about sowing and reaping or money, but this is so much bigger than money. It applies to money, but it applies in so many other areas. And whether you like it or not, there are laws. I might not like the laws of gravity, amen, but whether I like it or not, it's just a fact. It is what it is. And so today I want to talk to you about the law of sowing and reaping as we are in this legacy season of our church's life. So let's get with it, and then I got some things at the end I want to share. So we're going to go fast. Here we go. Jesus is talking, and he kind of sets the stage for us in the book of Mark, chapter number 4. He talks about the parable of the farmer. He says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, back then the way they scattered the seed was called broadcasting. They would reach into their bag, and they would just throw the seed out there. So it's broadcasting, okay? It's actually where we got the term broadcasting for television. We're throwing it out there all over the place, okay? And it was scattered. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, okay? But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. It goes on a little bit further. It says, other seeds fell amongst thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. So right now, 75% of the seeds are not growing. I'm glad God sowed into me when I wasn't producing a yield, a harvest. Amen? But watch verse number 8, and that's where we'll build our message from today. It says, still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up. By the way, I thank God, and I think he requires us to plant what he gives us in good soil. That we shouldn't just throw out, whether it's finances or other things, we just shouldn't just throw that out anywhere. We ought to do our best to put that in good soil. Mm-hmm. And still others fell on good soil. It came up, it grew, and it produced a crop. Watch this part. Some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Wow. Now, I gave you some weird laws that are on the books. Now, what I want to do in our next few minutes is I want to give you 8 laws. Whether you believe the Bible or not, these are 8 laws. They are in the Bible, and Jesus references them, but they're 8 laws of sowing and reaping. Now, let me give you a little asterisk here before we dive in. The asterisk is this. I'm going to give you some, not just principles, but they're literally laws. Unfortunately, what has happened is in many cases, these laws and the verses that support these laws have been so misused and so abused, particularly by what we would call in the church world prosperity preachers, that what has happened is we that want to stay healthy have pushed those laws to the side. We don't talk about them because they've been used to manipulate people. But I, for one, believe that just because it's been misused doesn't mean that we should forget it. We should set it straight so we could use it in the way that it was intended to be used. Amen, everybody? Right. And so that's what we're going to do today, and we're going to dive right in. Here we go. Here's some laws. Number one is everything starts as a seed. Now, let me just tell you ahead of time, some of these that I'm going to say, you're going to sit in your chair and go, I came to church for this? Because you're going to be like, duh, of course. But how many of you are like me? You need a reminder every once in a while. And again, these work in every area of our life. So everything starts as a seed. I was looking around here today, and I get emotional. I'm glad there's a couple songs to start with because I got to get myself together. When I see you in here worshiping God, and I look across, and so many of you, I know your stories. A lot of you, I don't. But so many of you, I know your story, and I know how your journey's been. And I think back to those small days where this just started as a seed, everybody. It started with 17 people crowded on a couch in a living room, everyone. We outgrew the living room with 17. We had to find a bigger place. All right. But it started with just a seed. I like to say it this way. Everything starts, has two creations. It's created first in your imagination, then it's created in the blood, sweat, and prayers, right? And I'm glad that what we did in, with those 17 people, that we didn't despise that. We recognize everything starts small, but with God's power on it, it has the opportunity to bring great harvest. Matter of fact, this is the way God created it. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 11. It says, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it according to their various kinds. And so it was. We're in the time of the year right now, it's nasty outside. And, you know, things are dying and trees are dying and the leaves are falling off. They're not producing fruit right now. And isn't it amazing? You can look at one of them fruit trees. I got a few fruit trees. And you can look at them at a certain season. You think, there is no way there is life ever coming back to that thing. There is no way that thing's ever going to produce another apple, another grape, another whatever it is. There is just no way. But the reason it keeps producing is because God started it with a seed and his word said, let it be, and his word hasn't changed its mind. Right, everyone? And I heard somebody say this. I would give credit, but I don't remember where I got this. Somebody said, anybody can count the seeds in an apple, right? I mean, you can split an apple open and count the seeds in there, but only God knows the amount of apples in one seed. Now, there was a lot of amens there. Remember that as we go. Because the seed has multiplication power. Isn't it true? You come on, farmers, wherever you're at, aren't you glad you don't put one kernel of corn in the ground and get one kernel of corn back? You know how much work it would take for a bowl of popcorn? Come on, everybody, right? But a seed has multiplication power because a seed, whether it's agriculturally, financially, or any other area, a seed is a step of faith. You mean to tell me I could cook these handful of corns and have a meal, or I could take them and put them in the ground and by faith believe that I'm going to get multiplied on top of what I put in the ground? It's a biblical principle. And everything great that we see, it starts small. That's why Zechariah said, who dares despise the days of small things? Or the King James says it this way, despise not the days of small beginnings. Everything starts small. In fact, I didn't know this until I was preparing this message, but the largest living thing on our earth is a redwood tree. Isn't that amazing? It's the largest living thing. How many of you have seen them? How many of you have been there to the redwood forest? It's absolutely amazing. And here's what's really amazing about that. If you've ever seen the trees 300 plus feet tall and hundreds of years old, and back in the day when I was a kid, you could actually drive your car through one of them. Anybody remember that? And they're just huge. But watch this. They all started with a seed. What if what we're seeing around here is still just the seed? What if it's still the seed? What if everything you need to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish, it's just a seed and it's still in you, and until you take the step of faith, come on somebody, right? Woo, come on. I'm already preaching and you're waiting for it. Here we go. Number two is nothing happens until the seed is planted. And you can either say amen right there or duh, we all know this. But nothing happens until the seed is planted. Think about this. Can you imagine a farmer going out and spending all his money to fill his barn with the seeds that he's going to plant next spring? Now, I don't know. He goes to the seed store, the agriculture. You can tell I'm not from this world, everybody, all right? But he fills his barn up with everything that he needs to, when spring comes, to put that seed in the ground. Could you imagine? He packs the barn with all the seeds, but watch this, springtime comes, and could you imagine? He never puts the seed in the ground. He never puts that. And we would just laugh at him. We would call him stupid. We would drive by his barn and go, what is the matter with this guy? Everything, your whole harvest is still inside the barn. Woo, come on. Some of us have everything we need, but it's still in the barn. We got all the time we need, but it's still in the barn. We got all the money that we need, but it's still in the barn. We have all the talent we need, but it's still in the barn. It's still locked up here, and because of fear, we're afraid to go put it out there. Could you imagine the farmer? The farmer says, man, I spent all this money collecting all this seed. I could put it in the ground, but what if there's a drought? Oh, I don't know. What if there's a flood? What if I plant and it's a bad season and there's no return on my investment? How many know that's fear? And you know the only two things that keep us from planting our seed is fear and greed. I dare you to find another reason. It's the only two. It's fear and greed. And if we're watching this farmer, we would just laugh at him because we know the seed is worthless until it's planted, until it gets out of the barn. Woo, come on now. Do you still love me? Come on. We got six principles to go. Let me say it this way. Maybe your field is barren. Maybe, let's put it in a little less threatening way. Maybe you're here and you're saying, man, I just have no friends. Maybe your friendships are barren. Your relationships are barren. But everything you need is still in the barn. The Bible says, in order to have friends, show thyself friendly. It's in the barn. Come on, let me say it in a real practical way. None of you do this. You're lining up to get in here. But you can't come to church after the music has started, get here 5 minutes late, sneak in, find one chair, get that chair, listen to the whole sermon, and then as soon as I pray, sneak out, never shake a hand, never introduce yourself to anybody, and then go home and post on social media. Well, they're not a very friendly bunch. Come on, you got to get the friendliness out of the barn. Am I making sense to anybody? You got to put the seed in the place that it can have a harvest. We know this. You have to sow in order to reap. It works in every area of our life. I've said this a lot lately, and I want you to hear it again. Sometimes we're like, I'm waiting for my harvest, God. And God's in heaven going, come on. Get the seed out of the barn. You're waiting on me, but I'm waiting on you. I honor those who step out in faith and put the seed in the ground. Come on, everybody. Yeah, Jesus taught this in John chapter number 12. He says this, verily, verily, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. It's just, you just got the one kernel of corn. That's all you got. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Now, this is just my own personal thing right here. You can spit this out if you want to. But I personally have always believed if what's in my hand is not big enough to be my harvest, then the chances are it's my seed. If I'm not going to survive with that $10 anyway, I'm just going to give it in the offering because I'm dead anyway. Huh? If that kernel of corn is only going to make me one bowl of corn and then I'm going to die, I might as well take that and plant it anyway. Come on. Because it will multiply. It's the law of the harvest, all right? And so I'd say it this way. Whatever you need, you got to plant that seed. You need friends? Plant friendliness. You need encouragement? Encourage somebody else. You need a high five? Just walk around church like this. Somebody will slap you, I promise you. I can't promise how good their aim will be, but somebody will slap you. All right? And we got all kind of people around here. Most of you know I love gardening. Not gardening like, you know, producing things, just flowers and bushes. And I got a yard with trails and flowers and all kind of stuff. And I tinker out throughout the summer. And there's people here in the church that help me out and teach this poor city boy a thing or two. And I love it. But here's something I was thinking about yesterday. There's one water hose I have. You probably have one too. There's one water hose I have that I think it's demon possessed. I don't even have to get it out. I just have to look at it and it's kinked. How many of you have this hose? And you know, you pull it all the way out, you get it all the way over to what you're going to water, you know, and you turn it on, and nothing's coming out. Why? Because there's a kink way back there by the faucet. And how many know you're 50 yards away trying to water something, and it has a kink way back? How many know you're not saying, thank you, Jesus, I can't wait to walk all the way back? You guys are the most deceptive group. You know it's true. And I won't even use it. It's like, oh, I got to use that hose? I don't want to use that hose. I have this other hose that's kink resistant. Man, that's the hose I like using. Watch. Because then the hose gets to do what the hose was meant to do. It's interesting. I don't even want to use the hose that has a problem doing what the hose was meant for. Can I just put it in context? I think all I am to God is a hose. I'm just a hose where God is trying to get from his source to another source. And I'm just a conduit, a channel. And if I kink up and get stingy, he's not going to use me. Come on, everybody. I'll tell you right now, one of the reasons God is blessing Radius is because you refuse to have any kinks. Come on, everybody, right? I'm just going to be a generous person. All right, number three. Number three is whatever I sow, that's what I reap. I know, again, duh, I know that. But Galatians 6:7 says it this way, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. It's real simple. It's a law. It doesn't even matter if you believe the Bible. It's just a law. You can't plant corn and eat watermelon. Right? It just doesn't happen. And it applies to every area of our life. Watch this, friends. If I dish out kindness, I get kindness back. If I dish out mean sarcasm, I get mean sarcasm back. And let me just destroy a myth real quick. That's not karma. That's not good luck. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. Mm-hmm. Now, does it mean everybody will be nice to me? No, because you could be Jesus and there's still people that won't like you. But if I sow kindness, I'm going to reap kindness. Right. Hosea 10:13 says it this way, but you have planted wickedness and you've reaped evil. I mean, it's just the way, it's just the law. And you have eaten from the fruit of deception. So we can't plant one thing and try to get another. Watch this, everybody. You can't be stingy and expect abundant life. The Bible says a generous man is the one who prospers. And whether you like me or not, or I hate that guy preaching about that stuff, it's just a law. It's just the way that it is. You can't be stingy and selfish and reap a blessing. The word stingy, I did a little word study on it, and I won't dive too deep. But it's really, it's associated with the word scarcity. And the word scarcity is where we get the word scared. And so when we're afraid, there won't be enough. When we're afraid, then we have a scarcity, stingy mindset. Afraid that there won't be enough. And whenever we're living scared, it makes us mean. Come on. We don't even have to believe the Bible. How many remember 5 years ago there was this little thing called COVID? And there was grandmas and grandpas fighting at Costco over toilet paper. Why? Because the mindset was there's a scarcity. There's not enough. So it makes nice people mean because I'm going to be stingy and I'm going to fight you over toilet paper? Really? How crazy. How many know Jacob in the Bible? Remember the story of Jacob? He proves to us that we reap what we sow. It's fascinating to me. The Bible says he was a deceiver. If you know the story, he has a twin brother that was born just a little bit ahead of him by the name of Esau. By the biblical laws of the day, the firstborn son got the inheritance of the father. And so Jacob decided to deceive his father who had lost his sight. His brother Esau was the outdoors hunting guy. Jacob was the in the kitchen cooking guy. And he decided to deceive his father. Anyway, long story short, and got the blessing of the first son. Let's fast forward a little bit. He deceived in order to get something. But how many know you reap what you sow? He sowed deception. And so then later in life, he goes and he works for 7 years for a man by the name of Laban to marry his daughter, Rachel. And so he goes for 7 years to work so he can have the hand of Rachel and marry her. And then for those of you that know the story, 7 years later, he ended up married to Rachel's sister, Leah. Crazy. Here's what's really crazy. He didn't even know the difference until the next morning. How many know you got problems, dude, right? You wake up the night after your wedding night and go, oops, what? Who are you, right? Okay, there's a whole lot there I'd like to touch on, but there's kids in here, all right? And let me prove it to you. It's right in the Bible. Man, for those of you that don't read the Bible because you think it's boring, you need to read the Bible. I mean, there's some stuff in here that'll make you like, wow. Give me another chapter. Check this out, right? When morning came, okay, this is after the wedding. After the wedding. Come on, we're adults here. We know what happens after the wedding. When morning came, there was Leah. I'm sorry. Sometimes my brain is twisted. Here's what I like about this whole story. Here's what I like. Look at that exclamation point right there. When morning came, there was, Leah. What are you doing here? I'm sorry. Okay, let's keep going. So Jacob, he says to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why, you have deceived me. Laban replied, it's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish the daughter's bridal week. Finish the honeymoon, then we'll talk. By the way, I don't want to be crude here, but Leah was not real, let's just say she wasn't the homecoming queen. And I'm not making that up. It's in the Bible. It says she had a lazy eye and a slow look. In other words, she looked like Sylvester Stallone with a brut with long hair. Come on, everybody. All right. It's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. You guys got to read your Bible more. Finish the daughter's honeymoon. Watch this, what he says. Then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years. That's what we call bamboozled. He got deceived because he reaps what he sows. Ooh, how come just bad things always happen to me? I check what I'm planting. Yeah, number four is I am a recipient of other sowers in my life. I am so glad. I'm a recipient of what others have sown. I talk about all the time how grateful I am that when I was a young boy, every Friday night, I would go home with Rich and Juanita, and they would bring me to church. My parents didn't know nothing about church. They brought me to church, to a church family night on Friday night, and I went to church with them, and I lived with them for the whole weekend, and my mom would come pick me up in the evening on Sunday. And they were brand new Christians, and they both had two of their own kids. But every Friday night we went to church, and every Sunday we did, or every Saturday morning we did chores. And every night before bed they would read a Bible story, sing some Christian songs. And I think how grateful I am. Whew! How much it changed the trajectory of my life because somebody sowed into somebody that couldn't sow into himself. Come on, everyone. I think about that little open Bible church in the suburb of Oakland, California, where they would bring me every Sunday. I think about that place, and here's something that I had to realize. I never gave $1 to that. When Rich and Juanita, when I wasn't with them, Miss Rose would come pick me up on the school bus and bring me to church. I never gave $1 to buy that bus. I never gave $1 in that building campaign for that building. I never gave one thing. And while I never gave one thing, here's a question. What if nobody else had either? Then there might not have been a building for me to go to. I'm a recipient of other people's sowing. Let me put it in another way. I'm standing on this stage this morning proclaiming the gospel under the freedom of the United States of America because somebody else planted and I'm reaping the harvest. Good men and women stood on battlefields and gave their lives, come on, so that I can enjoy the benefit of it. Now, while we're clapping, let's remember a generation will follow us. Let's hand them an amazing church. Let's hand them a healthy church. Come on, everybody. Let's hand them a debt-free church. Our teams are working hard that in the future, we're not just building for right now. Radius isn't going to be a flash in the pan. If Jesus tarries, this ministry is going to bless your children and their children and their children and their children. Come on, everybody. Yeah, we are planting seeds of trees that our children will get to sit under the shade of those trees. Our children will get to eat the fruit of the tree that we are planting right now. I think of a couple people that were in that original 17 people in that living room, and I think it's three. I know for sure two that are in my mind that have gone on to be with Jesus. There's one guy that was our very first trustee. He gave the very first offering. He came up to me and said, Ken, you keep doing these Bible studies and we haven't ever taken an offering. And he just handed me an offering. I said, you got to hold it. We don't even have nothing to do with the offering yet. We don't even have a bank account yet. About a month later, he told me, he said, get a bank account open. And he slid me a check. Here's what he did. He was planting a seed. Less than a year later, he died and went on to be with Jesus. He never got to see the fruit of the seed. But every once in a while, one of his grandchildren show up here. I know who they are. And they sit under the shade. Come on, everybody. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And by the way, let me just quick touch on this. It's a whole nother sermon, but let me touch on it. Some of you right now are saying, oh, that's great. But some of you are reaping negative things that were planted into your life. And you had an alcoholic father or a mean mother or whatever the things were. But here's how you break generational curses. You start sowing different seeds than what were sown into you. Come on. You got to sow a different. I never had anybody tuck me in at nighttime for bed. And so when my kids were little, every single night, whether I felt like it or not, we went in there, read a Bible story, asked about their day, said prayers, because what you got to plant the opposite seed to break the seed that was planted in you. Come on, say a good amen right there. Number five, I will always reap in a different season than when I sow. Isn't it true? You guys would have laughed at me. The first time I ever planted a garden, I put the seeds in the garden. And I know a little bit, but the next morning I was out there looking to see if the dirt had moved. How many know it just doesn't work like that, right? Mm-hmm. Watch this. There's always a season of delay between the planting and the harvesting. Don't forget that. Otherwise, we'll start treating God like a genie and a lottery machine. Well, I put the quarter in, I pulled the hammer, and I said the prayer, where is it? It might show up in ways that you have no idea. That furnace that's only supposed to last 20 years, now it lasts 25 years. Those tires that are only supposed to go 50,000 miles, they go 60,000 miles. Yeah, that's how God rolls, right? And it's in the delay that it's a season of trust. Come on, friends, there's a trust thing here. There's a faith thing here. It's a time of hope. Come on, we don't start a diet one day. January 1, on a diet. January 2, get on the scale. Oh, I give up. I had the owner of one of our local gyms in the first service, and I said, we were kidding, because in January, Scott, you know this too, in January, the gyms are cram-packed, and it drives us regulars nuts. And we just say, hold on, in 2 weeks, they'll all be gone. They'll all be gone. Because we expect instant right now. But there's work in the delay. Come on, everybody. There's commitment in the delay. Ecclesiastes said it this way in chapter number 3. It says, there's a time for everything. There's a season, let me paraphrase, to plant, and there's a season to harvest. There's a season for everything under heaven. How many in here like apples? Let me see your hand. Anybody like apples? I found this out. I found from the time you put an apple seed into the ground to the time that tree is producing like an apple that we can eat takes anywhere from 6 to 10 years. Whew. So here's what I want to say to somebody. Don't give up in the delay. Mm-hmm. Don't give up in the delay. Number six is I always reap more than I sow. Isn't it true? Come on, we were all laughing about it a minute ago. You don't put one kernel of corn in the ground and it grows up a stalk and there's one kernel on it. No, it's amazing, right? That stalk grows up and there's multiple ears on that stalk and there's multiple kernels on those ears of corn. This is the principle of multiplication. And when I plant one kernel, I get many. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter number 6. He says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He says, when you give, I multiply back. Listen, again, you don't even have to agree with the Bible. Just know in farming, it's just a law of sowing and reaping. When you step out in faith and get the seed out of the barn and put it in the ground, it comes back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen. Come on, if you've seen it in your life, say amen. Amen. Yeah, for all those that are doubting, you heard, they help me preach, all right? Here's a true story. It's an old story, and you can do whatever you want with. But years ago, when we were first starting in ministry, I was making $50 a week in ministry. And even by those days standards, that's what we'd call broke. Okay? And just $50, that was it. And I had saved up for a long time, and it was going to be Jake's first. He was like, I don't remember how old, but he wasn't even a year yet. And we were going to go to church on that Sunday, which was going to be the very first Mother's Day. It was going to be her first Mother's Day Sunday. Now, back in those days, some of you have been in church long enough to know that the ladies had to wear skirts or dresses. How many of you remember those days, all right? How many of you are glad you've been delivered? Thank you, Jesus, huh? If you didn't wear a dress, you're going to hell. How many know what I'm saying? How many glad we're not anymore, right? Aren't you glad there's not a dress code in heaven? Here I is, all right? Okay. And so, but in those days, she had to wear a dress. I had to wear a suit, and so, me and Jake, I took Jake in the little stroller. Little, I'm a good father. I know what those things are. All right, and we were walking through the mall. We stopped in a little store that I knew she liked, and we bought a dress. And I'm gonna just tell you something right now. This is gonna sound funny. Some of you are gonna whatever. But I spent $100 on this dress. I might as well have spent $10,000. But I was so proud, like in a good way, man, my wife's going to show up on Sunday, woo, with our child. Here we are as a family, a beginning Brady Bunch. You know, I mean, you know, like we're going to be the thing. And I spent $100 and she wore that dress on Mother's Day. It was great. About 2 weeks later, we had a missionary in our church. Now, for those of you that don't know what a missionary is, it's somebody that goes to foreign countries to preach the gospel. And then they'll come back home and come to like their home church or a friend church, and they'll talk about what they're doing. And then we would take, in those days it was called a love offering. Anybody know about these? We'd take a love offering. In other words, everybody was asked to do something to help support that missionary as they were going back to the mission field. And so I remember reaching in my pocket as a staff member, mind you, grabbing $10. I'm making $50 a week. And I took... Now, Patty had a job, though, and I took $10. It was probably out of her purse, $10, and I put it in the offering. And as I was putting it in the offering, I felt, now, I'm going to say it was God. It was an impression. I know it wasn't the devil, but I felt this impression. I want you to give as much in that offering as you just spent on that your wife's dress. Now, I don't know if you guys pray the same way I pray, but internally in church, sitting on that pew, I was like, what's up with that, God? You know I can't afford that. So I elbowed my wife and said, hand me your purse. And I reached in her purse and I grabbed the checkbook. Anybody remember what those are called? And I wrote out a check for $100. And have you ever been in a place where you can't argue because you're in a place where you can't talk? And we're sitting next to each other and I'm writing a check and she's like, and I'm like, sitting on a hard pew. How many know, right? That made the argument more like, I'm ready to give $100 just to be able to sit in a cushioned chair, everybody. I wrote the check and I put it in. I didn't even put it in there. I had to go after church and go give it to the usher guys. And here's what happened. No kidding. The next day, that was a Sunday, the next day, a lady who had just started coming to our church, she called us. And we had office hours back there, called the church, answered the phone, and she said, hey, look, I have a boutique downtown, I think it was Grand Rapids, Michigan, and boutique, and we've been closing it. We've had a clearance sale going on. I'm just closing it down, and most everything has been bought, but I have this one particular size that nobody's bought. And she said, I know your wife, and I think it's probably her size. Why don't you guys come down here and look? Well, my wife was working a professional job at the time, and I was making $50 a week. So we drive down there and go to this little boutique. Anyway, long story short, my wife ended up leaving there with 10 over $100 professional dresses, outfits that she could wear to work and to church and the different things we did. Come on, because you always reap more. Now watch this. That was the next day. It doesn't always happen that way, but I remember that time, and God was teaching me a lesson back then. It's a law. You not only reap what you sow, but more than you sow. Come on. We've seen it in the opening text, everybody. We say, watch, bring that opening text back up. Some will multiply 30, some 60, and some 100 times more than you put in the ground. I got two to go. Here we go. Number seven. Number seven is I can increase my harvest by planting more seed. I know that one just kind of tightened us up, and I took it out of the sermon because it sounds manipulating. It sounds like I'm trying to play on you. It sounds like, oh, man, I don't know if I like that. And I took it out, and I thought, no, it's still true. It's why farmers don't plant all their harvest on a piece of ground the size of this stage. They always want to plant more to produce more. Ooh, it got quiet in here now. It's called the law of proportion. It sounds manipulating. It's not. I promise you, I'm not even trying to ask you for anything. I'm just telling you the laws and what they are. I'm not going to play a sad puppy dog video after this and ask you to give something, right? Okay, it's logical, and it's true in every area of our life. It's true in kindness. It's true in grace. It's true in time. It's true in every area. Matter of fact, let me define seed for you real quick, and we'll do number eight and be done. A seed is anything that I value that I give away. That's what a seed is. If it's money, that's what you value. If it's time, that's what you value. If it's your talent, that's what you value. If it's encouragement, whatever you value that you give away, that's your seed. And watch what the Bible says. This is my favorite giving verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 9. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Come on, you got to choose. You can be mad at me, but you got to choose. Do I believe the Bible or not? Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Now, time out. This has nothing to do with amount. It has everything to do with attitude. Because how many know it's a sacrifice for somebody to give $100? It's a major, and so they're being generous. The same person or another person can give $1,000 and it's sparing because it's no big deal to them. They're not even going to miss that, right? And so that's what the Bible is talking about right there. So generosity is not an amount, it's an attitude. In fact, real quick, Jesus talked about this in Mark chapter number 12 when he told the disciples, he said, check out that woman right there that just gave in the offering. She gave two copper coins, which are like, in those days, like in our days right now, it's worth like a half a cent. And Jesus told the disciples, she's given more than anybody. Whoo, come on now. I don't have time because I'm out of time. Proverbs 11:24, you can take a picture of it. It should be in your online notes. Number eight, and I'm done. Number eight, the time to start planting is right now. Amen. Come on, everybody. Tommy was on this stage. He said, don't you dare say 4 more months in harvest. We're in a harvest right now. We are in a harvest right now. Have you ever noticed that someday, one day turns into none day? Yeah. And just real quick, without sounding too sarcastic, isn't it interesting before we got saved? We didn't sharpen our pencils too much before we got saved. Let me say it another way. We weren't so into our math before we got saved. You know, you'd go to the bar and give me another round. You weren't over there going, oh, man, look how much this bar is charging me for these drinks. Huh? You gave your money to your idols before you served God. All right, let's go off of that. That's just... Galatians says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for in the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So we're in Legacy Month. You know that. And every year I need to stand up here and just give you an opportunity to grow in your faith in the area of giving. It's just, listen, friends, it's my responsibility. And somebody would say, well, man, all the church talks about is money. Not this church. No, we don't. There's probably two a year that I'm going to just... And at the end, I'm not asking you to give one penny. I'm asking you, somewhere in your spiritual journey, you're going to have to trust them in every area of your life. It's just a law, that's all. And friends, listen to this, please. We are literally seeing a move of God right now. We really are. If you don't have any church background, not every church has got people lining up to get in here. 90% of the seats are taken before the countdown's over. People are getting saved. People are getting baptized. There's just too many stories for me to tell. I'm going to tell it on the state of the church. But it's not 4 months into harvest. So what are we going to do? There's a harvest right now. So I told you I had a big announcement this week, and things materialized during the week that I don't have the same big announcement. But God's still in control. So let me tell you some real practical things where we're at as a church, and I'll close with this today. Right now, I mean, if you look around right now, there's a handful of seats, but there's people standing. In the next service, there'll be people like we often seat them out in the foyer. Our children's rooms are just saturated. We're getting ready to try to tear into this room and add kids all the way around us. And how many know it's a sign of a good church when it's all young kids that are, whoo. And so we got to do something. And so we had been working on a lease of a new building. We were real close to signing papers to lease the old Christ the King building over in Burlington. And what we were going to do is keep this location and open that location. And we were going to start doing four Sunday morning services back and forth to alleviate the tension between the services, let there be margin where we weren't so much on a time frame and just be able to grow and be able to have more room. The trustees and I, we met on Thursday night after the church service, and we decided to say no to that opportunity. But how many know that a no doesn't have to be a no forever? We just didn't feel like it made good stewardship. And I, for one, am grateful that we have a group of men and trustees that will make sure to steward your generosity so that our church stays healthy, everybody. Amen? And so we just put a little time out on that right now because we can't answer a lot of secondary questions until we answer this question. And the question is, we got to get this mortgage paid off. Next Sunday, I'm going to give you an exact dollar figure of where we're at. You've been giving, and so far, I don't have the amount, but I know that so far, not counting this Sunday morning, 55 people have given. But we have about 1,200 adults that are showing up here. How many know we got a long way to go? Come on, everybody. Let's get 100% participation. I'm not asking you for an amount. I'm asking you for participation. God works in unity, everybody. God works in that. So let's everybody. I mean, just do the math. If 500 adults will give $100, that's 50 grand. Come on, everybody. And just be a part of what God is doing. So we said no to the lease. But then there's this other building that we wanted to buy prior to COVID. And we just couldn't swing it back then. That building has been sold on a land contract, and that's coming up at the end of December. And the owners of that building are saying, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to do it or not. And so we might be able to make a move on a purchase of a building at the end of December that would allow us to probably have 800 or 900 seats in it and keep this facility at the same time. Okay? Okay. So here's what I'm saying. God isn't sending people here for us to have them turn around. And if you're one that has had to drive out of the parking lot and not attend church, I greatly apologize. It bothers me to the core. We want there to be room for you, and we're working hard. Here's what we're going to do in the meantime. Now, that lease or that building might pop up in the next 2 weeks, 30 days, 60 days. But how many know God's building this church? We just have to be good stewards. And we have to believe in the law of sowing and reaping, everybody. Yeah? And so here's what we're going to do in the meantime. And I'll be talking to you more about this, especially at the State of the Church address in January. But here's what we're working on as a team. So we're getting ready to shake things up. Thursday night service is going to stay what Thursday night service is. And then we're going to add a Saturday night service and possibly even two Saturday night services, all right? And so we're going to just make room because it's hard to get in here. The best thing we could do to serve you better is just to make more room. And so we're going to immediately add a Saturday night service with kids ministry. And then we're going to change all the Sunday morning services around where the early service now will start at 8 o'clock and it will 8:30, thank you. It'll start at 8:30 and have kids ministry in it. And all three of the Sunday morning and Saturday night and Thursday night will all have children's ministry because if God's sending them to us, we need to take care of them, everybody. Come on. Now, all of that, I have no idea how we're going to do that. But I know if God's people will start sowing, if we'll sow financially, if we'll sow our time, because we're going to need some people that'll double up. We're going to need some people to sow their talent, because we need to hire a whole nother staff just for Thursday night or Saturday nights. We got 80 people in kids ministry now with just 3 kids ministries. We're going to do 5 kids ministries. How many know we need another 80 like tomorrow? Come on, everybody. You were just cheering about sowing and reaping. And the harvest is right now. Here's what I know. The price of growth stops when the price gets too high. Growing in our life, in our marriage, in our church, anywhere, when it gets too high, we just stop. I for one don't want it to stop. I want your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your coworker, your mom, your dad to come and know the grace and the love of our Lord and Savior. Come on, give them a good hand. All right? Amen. All right. Well, once again, I'm out of time, so would you stand with me? There's people, again, they're already waiting outside. Come on, everybody. Let's pray. Are you glad you're in a move of God? Amen. Let's not take it for granted. I need you. We need you. We need everybody. We need everybody. In fact, don't even wait till the next time I talk about it. Get a connection card today and put something on there. I don't know what you want, but the answer is yes. That could be dangerous. Next week, I'll give you a report of exactly where we're at and what things have changed. And for the next month, you can just count on us just showing you where we're at. If God's breathing on it, I want to steward it. Amen, everybody? Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I got to let you go. But I don't want to not miss the opportunity. So there's people at the cross. Let's just call an audible here real quick. Those of you that are at the cross ready to pray for people, if you want to give your life and heart to Jesus or want to know more about that today, please, when I say amen, I know it'll be a little bit of a battle. Just walk over to my right and meet one of the people at the cross. They would love to pray with you. But Father, in the meantime, I pray that we will steward your blessings in our life personally and in our lives corporately. All for your glory, not for ours. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. I love you. We'll see you next Sunday.